Our Old Testament lesson this morning is the story of the sacrifice of Isaac by his father Abraham. It is one of the best known stories in the Bible and also one of the most perplexing. Abraham is known as the ancestor of faith, the model of faith for all people, because throughout his life, Abraham has always obeyed the commands of God, and he has always believed the promises of God. So when God spoke to Abraham and told him to leave the land of his fathers and go to a land that God was going to give him, Abraham believed in the promise, and he obeyed the command, and he set out across the desert with his family and his household and all his flocks and herds. And when God told Abraham that he was going to be the father of a great nation, and he brought him out of his tent and told him to look at the stars in the sky, and he told him that his descendants would be as many in number as the stars in the sky, Abraham believed the promise. And when even when Sarah was too old to conceive a child, Abraham still believed the promise that God would make him the father of a great nation. And when finally Sarah did conceive and Isaac was born, then it seemed like the promise would be fulfilled. It was possible that Abraham would become the father of a great nation and have many descendants through Isaac if only he could grow to maturity and have descendants of his own. So everything in the story depends on Isaac. Isaac is the bearer of the promise. He's the only son of Abraham and Sarah, and he is the one who's going to make Abraham the father of a great nation with many descendants. But now in the story, God calls all that into question. And God speaks to Abraham. He says, "Abraham, Abraham." Abraham says, "Here I am." And God says, "Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and offer him on the mountain as a sacrifice." Well, when we hear that, our minds react with horror. What kind of a God would ask such a thing of a person? It makes God sound like a monstrous being or an abusive parent. How could he do that? We want to turn away from this text and just reject it, cut it out of our Bibles, and forget about it. How could God ask such a thing of any human being? But let's stay with it. Let's stay with it. It may be that if we wrestle with this text, it will give us a blessing. The story doesn't have any easy answers, and it requires a struggle. We have to struggle with this text. I think that's what makes it such a good story and such a lasting story. So God tells Abraham to sacrifice his only son. "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and offer him as a sacrifice on the mountain." Well, as you can see, this creates a dilemma in the story. Because if Abraham is faithful and obeys the promise, or obeys the command, then Isaac won't be able to have children and the promise will be broken. The reformer John Calvin in the 16th century said, "The promise of God and the command of God are in conflict." The promise is that Abraham will have children through Isaac, but the command of God is that Isaac will be offered as a sacrifice. He can't have any children, and therefore Abraham can't have any descendants. The promise and the command are in conflict. But Abraham is faithful. Abraham somehow is able to keep the promise and the command together, even though they're in conflict. He is the ancestor of faith. He is the paradigm of all faithful people. So he gets up early in the morning and he saddles his donkey and he takes his son Isaac and two of his servants and they start off for the mountain. And as they go, they gather wood for the fire for the sacrifice. And they travel a long time, and after 2 days, Abraham says to the servants, "Stay here while the boy and I go on ahead to worship on the mountain." So Abraham and Isaac go on. Isaac is carrying the wood, and Abraham is carrying the fire pot and the knife. And the boy Isaac says, "Father, here's the wood and here's the fire, but where is the lamb for the sacrifice?" And Abraham says, "God himself will provide the lamb, my son." Now that is a very ambiguous reply. What does he mean by saying God himself will provide? It might mean that he thinks that Isaac is the lamb that God has provided and he's going to sacrifice him on the mountain. He just doesn't want to say it out loud. Or it could be that somehow Abraham thinks that God is going to provide him a way out of this dilemma, and so he continues on in faith. So they continue on to the top of the mountain. Abraham builds the altar and he arranges the wood on top of it. He ties up his son, puts him on the wood, and he picks up the knife to kill his own son. And just as his hand is at the top of the stroke, an angel calls out, "Abraham, do not lay your hand upon the boy or hurt him in any way, for now I know that you are faithful." So Abraham looks up, and there is a ram caught by his horns in the thicket. And he takes the ram and he puts him on the altar and he offers the ram as a sacrifice in place of his own son Isaac. So it turns out, in the end, that God has provided, just as Abraham said he would. Well, this story takes us to a very raw and scary place. Would God really demand such a thing of a person? And would he demand such a thing of us? And if so, how would we respond? I don't think I could do it. When my sons were little, they were more precious than my own life, and I would rather give up my own life than give up their life. I don't think I could have got even halfway up the mountain. My faith is just not that great. Back when I worked for Habitat for Humanity, I had an opportunity to go on a mission trip to El Salvador. One of my peers had gone the year before, and she was telling the rest of us that we ought to go. It was an opportunity to go live with a family, a poor family in an indigenous community, to help them build the concrete walls of a house with cement and bricks, and put a tin roof on it. And I thought, well, I really kind of feel called to go on this trip. It'd be a great cross-cultural experience. It'd be exciting. It would be a way for me to be a citizen of the world and engage in a global interchange. I could bring back some great stories. But my mind raised all these objections. I mean, how was I going to pay for this? It's going to be a couple of $1,000s. And how was I going to take time off work? And who was going to take care of my family while I was gone? The woman who was organizing this said, "You know, don't worry, it'll all happen. It'll all take care of itself." But I couldn't see my way through to do it, so I didn't go. My faith wasn't that great. I didn't even get halfway up the mountain. Well, if God asks something difficult of you, if it was clear and plain what God wanted you to do, would you do it? The philosopher Soren Kierkegaard in the 1800s said that this story illustrates that it's only when we're pushed to extremes that we understand what life is all about. It's only when we're willing to give everything up that we're able to get things back. It's only when we're able to give up our life that we really get our life. Years ago, a parishioner of mine who was dying told me, you know, I never realized how important my family was to me until I had to face letting go of them and saying goodbye to them. Faith means the ability to let go. Faith means believing that God will provide no matter what. Jesus said, those who would save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. Richard Rohr says that the story of Abraham and Isaac shows the importance of sacrifice, not the sacrifice of a human being or the sacrifice of an animal or ritual sacrifice, but the sacrifice of our own ego. When we're able to give up our own ego and let go of control, that's when we find that we're able to live out of our true self. So today we remember Abraham, the ancestor of our faith, and we remember his ultimate expression of faith: God will provide. Amen.